We're so glad that you decided to join in with us today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
I spent 4 years in Bible college, and I can tell you today that the greatest impact on my ministry was not the years that I spent in Bible college. I can name the professors. I remember the classes that I was a part of. Some of them were good. Some of them were, why in the world did they even make me take that class? It was a waste of money. But I'm going to tell you, the one thing that had the most impact on me was when I did an internship at a church. In fact, it made an impact on me because part of Bible college is you have to do an internship at a church. And it's a 9-week internship where you go in and you're supposed to learn from all the pastors. Well, small town boy I'm thinking, I'm not going to be able to find hardly anything. So I'm in a small town in North Louisiana at a North Arkansas at a church trying out for an internship. I went in, preacher was having me preach. There was probably about 30 people in the church that morning, and I was going to go there for free. And, the pastor was just going to get to use me 40, 80 hours a week, whatever. And I was there, and what impressed me the most is I got a call from a guy named Pastor Don Logan. And he probably doesn't remember this, but he called me and he says, John, we'd like you to come and do an internship at Broadmoor Assembly of God. And I'm thinking, why do you want me? I'm just an old country boy. And I said, hey, I'm already here trying out. And he said, you don't have to take that internship. Just because you're there, you don't have to do it. You can come. And, it just impressed me that he sought me out. And I did go. And that was one of the most impactful times in my life that affected my ministry more than anything else in the world, the practical time that I spent in a church and people poured into me, and they allowed me to do things that no other minister would allow me to do, like preach. I had to preach to the youth, to the children, to the adults. And I can't tell you the number of bad sermons I probably preached at that church. But every time, Pastor Don Logan would just grin at me and say, well, it's great to have you in the pulpit. And it was just a time of pouring. And I think that's important that we do in our young ministers, because the age of ministers are going up and up. And not many young men and young women are going into ministry today. And so when you have the opportunity, you need to pour into their lives. And Dwight's been doing a ministerial internship. Now, I've had 4 or 5 of you ask, where is Dwight going? When does he leave? And I was like, he's not going anywhere. Well, he's finished. Is he going to a country in Africa? Do you want to go to the country in Africa? Okay. He's not going anywhere. He's finished it up. He's actually taking some college classes at Fletcher. But he's working on his ministerial credentials through La Somme. And he goes up to the campgrounds in Alexandria once a month, and he takes a different class. What was your last class you took? Ministerial Ethics. If you want to know what that's about, you can ask him after service today. But I saw his picture. That was this weekend, wasn't it? This past weekend. And so Dwight's actively being involved in ministry. He feels a full-time call to ministry. And these classes aren't free. And part of being an intern is when you wrap it up, you get a chance to preach. And I want to bless Dwight this morning. He probably didn't know I was going to receive an offering for him, but that we are going to do that. So if I could have the ushers come forward at this time. We want to affirm our young ministers in the midst. And that's what he is. He's working towards his credentials. I still remember when I got married at Broadmoor, and Don Logan, Pastor Don, was gonna say, "I'm gonna introduce you as Pastor John and Cheryl Ponder. And I said, I don't have my credentials yet. And he says, you're still a pastor. That's what you're working for. And so that's what he's working for. And so it's Pastor Dwight. He might feel uncomfortable receiving that this morning, but hey, he's got a genuine call on his life. If you haven't seen him preach, he's preached to our young people over in the youth. He's preached to in chapel, and he's got a word that he is going to share this morning. But I want us to bless him in what you're giving. Everything you give will go to Dwight, and you're going to be using it totally for your ministerial education, aren't you? I'm just kidding. We're just going to bless him, and we're going to leave it up to him. But let's be a blessing to him this morning, okay? Lord Jesus, I thank you today for Dwight. I thank you for a young man that has yielded his life to you. He is saying, God, I will serve you. And Lord, I want to follow you. And Lord, whatever that may look like, I will do it. And so today, Lord, I pray blessings upon him. I pray right now that you will calm his heart, Lord, as he gets ready to share your word, that your anointing will rest upon him. Lord, that in Jesus' name, that as he shares the life-giving words of your word, God, that it will go forth, Lord Jesus, and make an impact on lives. Lord, I pray that you would bless each person, Lord Jesus, as they give, Lord. I pray, Lord, as they give, Lord, that you would use this to be a blessing to Dwight, Lord, as he seeks to follow your call into the ministry. Amen.
I want to thank Pastor John. You know, not a lot of people's going to give me an opportunity like this at this age to preach. I'll tell you what, it's a blessing to be here. I'm so thankful to have this opportunity, because this is what it really is. It's an opportunity to do what God's called me to do. I really do feel like God's called me to ministry. You know, I want to reach people. I love that our vision is to lead people into a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ, because that's what Christianity is about, right? That's what we're called to do, right? Amen. And that's what I really feel call my life. You know, when Pastor John asked me to preach, we were in staff meeting. I'll tell you what, I don't have a great focus. You know, if y'all talk to me, if I'm looking around, I'm not listening to you. And if I'm really looking at you, but like with a dead stare, I'm not listening to you either. So I can go by like minute or 2 minute spurts of listening to you. So I only catch parts of stuff. So we're in staff meeting, right? And we're talking about the series. We have a story to tell. And I'm not listening at all. I'm in my own little world. I'm like, Pastor John, it's like he was talking about how he wants different people to preach during the series, because we have a story to tell. You know, Pastor John doesn't have a story to tell. Well, I mean, he does, but we all have a story to tell, so he wanted more people to be included in the series. And I'm just in my own little world, I'm not listening. Anyway, so he's like, Dwight, I would love for you to preach 1 week. And I went, what? He's like, and we had a sheet of paper, different topics we can preach on and stuff. He's like, can you look over the sheet and figure out which sermon you would like to preach? And I was like, okay, sure. And I was trying to play it cool, too. I was like, yeah, in my mind I'm thinking I was playing it cool, but in reality I probably was like, and I'll tell you what, I've never felt such mixed emotions in my life than in that moment. I was like super excited. I was like, yes, I got to preach. That's awesome. But I was also like, man, I got to preach. So, and I'll be honest, I'm feeling that way today. I'm super excited, and I'm also super nervous. So I might jump for joy, and I might throw up. We'll just see. Amen. All right. Oh, I got an iPad. That was great. Oh, man, y'all don't even know how long I've been working on that joke. Anyway. At the end of that staff meeting that night, it was funny. Pastor John was like, I got a big family, right? If y'all see all the visitors today, that's my family. We all live in the same town. It's great. I love it. Anyway, he was like, when Dwight preaches, we're going to have to put a few extra chairs out just for his family. And y'all, we got a full crowd today, and it's, we got the church, and then we got my family, and it's hilarious. It's all split up, too. It's one side and the other side. Anyway, I love it. My family's super supportive. Now, I told my mom I was going to embarrass her. Say, ooh. So, Mama, can you please stand up? Oh, she didn't know. Mom, woman? There you go. All right, that's my mama, y'all. Hey. I love my mama. Oh, that's so sweet, isn't it? Yeah, I really do. She loves me like nobody else. I mean, that woman cooks for me. I tell you what, if you don't know anything about me, I love food. And I eat all the time. You know, I'm 18. What do 18-year-old guys do? We eat. So she cooks for me, and I love it. You know, and I tell you what, I wasn't feeling good a few weeks ago, and I like to watch movies. You know, that's one of my things. I just like to chill out. You know, that's relaxing to me. I like to watch movies. All right, dog, I'll make you some. We're going to watch a movie. I was like, yeah, mama. I love my mom. Everybody said, oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. So I really do. You know, my mama, I told her I was going to embarrass her, so I'm just going to do this. You know, I have a video on my phone. I'm not going to play it. Don't worry, ma. I ain't going to embarrass you that bad. But anyway, I do have a video on my phone of her. You know, she was cooking one day, of course, just for me. Oh. Anyway. You know, she was listening to music because that's what she likes to do while she's cooking and stuff in the kitchen. She had on MC Hammer, Can't Touch This. Can't touch. Anyway, so she cooking, right? So she has a big spoon or ladle, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, and then she puts a spoon down. She goes, and then she looks back. She's like, ah! He's videoing me. So my mama's fun. We, you know, I like to dance too. Don't worry. I get it right from her. You know, so we play Just Dance on the week. You know, Can't Touch the Band. And I love it. All right. Well, okay. Well, that has nothing to do with my message. I just wanted to share that with y'all. Ooh, that water's good. Oh, I like water. Anyway, message. What am I talking about? All right. Okay. Yes. It actually does have something. Look at that. Love. We all love something, right? Everybody loves. You know, a big motivation behind what people do is love. You know, why do we work? Why do we go to work? We don't love work. I'll tell you that right now. Most of us don't love work. But what do we love? We love our family. My dad loves our family. So what does he do? He provides. So he loves my family so much that he goes out to work to provide for me, to buy me food. Whoop, whoop. And I think that's true in Christianity. You know, that's why we follow God. It's all because of love. Everybody say, oh, that's so sweet. Oh. You know, I think I'm convinced that we have Christianity today because of one verse. And I guarantee you, we all know it. And if you don't, you're one in a million. I'm just saying. It's John 3:16. I bet we could all say it together. In John 3:16. There you go. We could all say it in sync in the same tone of voice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, I'll be honest. Growing up, that was probably my least favorite verse. Everybody say, what? You can't have a least favorite verse. They're all important. But no, I didn't like that verse too much. And this is why. Everyone knows it. You don't need to be a Christian to know that verse because it's plastered everywhere. You know, if you know a verse in the Bible, that's it. Anyway, so I was like, man, it's overused, overdone, whatever. Okay. And also, side note, I never liked that it said, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And I was like, I don't think that's true. Now, everybody knows that whatever's in the Bible, that's true, right? But I was like, Okay. So all I got to do is believe in God. So I can be like a psycho murderer axe person, but be like, yeah, I believe in God. God's real and still go to heaven. I don't think that's true. So I kind of did some research a while back when I was going through the Bible. I was reading the Bible. Isn't that always something good to do? Anyway, Bible was, New Testament was written in Greek, right? So I went back to the Greek language, and that word believe means, like, a synonym for that is faith. And if you look in James chapter 2, verse 19, Aiden, you on top of this, boy? Oh, he ain't even, oh, never mind. It said, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that. So it's not just enough to believe, right? Right. Okay, so what do we have to do? That's my question. What do we have to do? You know, when I was looking in the Greek for believe, you know, it was like put your faith in. And James, in the same chapter, a couple verses ahead, before, it says that faith without action is dead. So if we are having to believe in God, we're going to put our faith in God, we need to do something, right? So if we call ourselves a believer, what do we need to do? And that's the question I want to answer today. All right. If we turn to Matthew 22, verse 36 and through 38, you know, I'll give you a little background. Jesus, he was talking with the Sadducees right before this. And the Sadducees were trying to trick Jesus and make him look stupid or whatever. He was like, nah. And he turned it around on the Sadducees, and they were like, oh, you know what? He's right. Okay. Well, the Pharisees, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they're buddies. So Pharisees were like, I got you. So they were like, okay, Jesus, answer this question. He said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Well, that's a good question. I mean, that's a solid question. Well, I mean, what's the most important law that you command us to do? And this is what he said. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Christianity is founded on love, right? God so loved the world that he gave his son. Okay, so because God loves us, he's saying, love me with your all, right? You know, I find that cool. And if you think about it, humans are made up from three things, our soul, spirit, and mind. And that's what it is. Our heart is our spirit. That's what it's saying. So everything that makes you a human being, take that and love God. Take it all and love God. And I love that because Christ gave his all at the cross, right? Right. Hold up. All right. I love that so much. You know, Jesus didn't stop there. He said, and the second is like it in verse 39. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Christianity is all about love. And I love that. Isn't that supposed to love people? Now, I'll tell you what. Some people, they're not fun to love. Everybody say, mm-hmm. I told you how much I love my mama. You talk about my mama. You think I want to love you? Girl. That's ridiculous. Y'all remember when we went through that series? That's ridiculous. I don't want to love everybody. But that's not what Jesus said, right? He said, I don't care who you want to love. This is who I'm telling you to love. Love everybody. I was like, everybody? Everybody. You know, even your enemies. You know, it's easy to love people that love you, right? Mm-hmm. My mama loved me. I love her too. You know, it's that simple. Now, the person that don't love my mama, the person that don't love me, why would I want to love them? That's my enemy. I don't want to love them. But that's what we're called to do, right? If we look in, where is it? Lost right now? I haven't been looking at my notes or anything. Oh, Matthew, staying in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 through 46. It says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Then you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those, what reward would you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? All right, let's analyze this a little bit because you got to think deep. You know, look into the deeper meanings. Be so spiritual. And what does verse 44 say? It said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Talk about my mama? Well, I still got to love you and I still got to pray for you. That's not fun. That's not what I want to do. But Christ, that's not what God cares about. You know, Christ doesn't care about what we want. He says, this is what you need. This is what I called you to do. Right? Amen. And in verse 45, he continues it. He said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And I love this. Right out, Christian, it'd be about love. You know, oh, So, and I love it. You know, he said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. If we call ourselves believers, we're children of God, right? Well, if we want to be children of God, he said, love your enemies. That's not fun, but it's necessary. It's important. You know, it's an important lesson. We need to love everybody. How you love everybody? You know, Jesus loves everybody, right? We need to be like Jesus. But, I mean, for us, it's physically impossible to be like Jesus because he's so awesome and stuff. But every day, I strive to be like him, right? Right? That's what we need to do. Every day, we need to strive to be perfect. We need to strive for perfection. We need to strive to be like Jesus because that's what the Bible says for us to do. That's what Christ says for us to do. And if we're to do that, how do we love our enemies? We need to forgive them. Everybody say it with me. That hurts just a little bit. You know, it's inside, you know. How do we forgive those who do us wrong? How am I going to forgive the person that's talking about my mom? You know, in Colossians was written by Paul. And I'll tell you what, I love Paul. I went through Acts, and then I've been going through everything that he's written. And I went through Colossians, a month or two ago or whatever. But Paul don't care about nobody's feelings. And I love it. He'll say whatever he wants, don't care about who's upset. And I'll tell you what, the world today, I'm tired of all these people. I'm so offended. I don't want to get my way, but I do what I want. And if you don't do what I want, well, psh, girl. Anyway, Paul said in Colossians 3:12-14, he said, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Okay, let's pause. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How did the Lord forgive us, right? Well, he died on the cross. You think I'm going to die for somebody to talk about my mama? I don't think so. But that's what I'm called to do, right? That's what Jesus said for me to do. You talk about my mama? Well, I guess I'm going to the cross. You pick up your cross daily. That's somewhere in the Bible. That's not in my notes. That's just an extra. I just thought about that. That was good. It's easy to say this. You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect at all this. Lord knows I'm not perfect. Lord knows I'm not perfect at all these things. But every day, I'm telling you, I strive for perfection. And I think that's what Christianity is. You know, every day we need to strive for perfection. We might not ever reach that, but that's what we're called to do. We're called to do because if we believe, we need to do something. What do we need to do? We need to love God, love people. Now, I've heard this message so many times by different people. It's said in different ways. You know, this is my way, I guess. You know, I'm a big goofball. But, yeah, we need to love God. We need to love people. How do you love people? You got to forgive them. How do you forgive people? Be compassionate. Be patient. Be kind. Be gentle. And be humble. That's another one. Right? One second. Why do we do all these things? Right? Why do I need to love y'all? Why can't I just love God? Why do I have to love y'all? Because some of y'all mean. Not y'all, but like, y'all are perfect. Y'all know that. Why do I have to love the person that's talking about my mama? Why can't I just not necessarily be mean to him? But why do I need to love him? Why can't I just hope that a truck hits him? You know, why can't I do that? Because that's not what the Bible says. You know, in Colossians, you know, stay in Colossians 3. It says in chapter 3, verse 20 and 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Everybody say,
That's good stuff. But, I mean, I'm just preaching right out of the Bible. I don't know why people don't read the Bible. I'm just saying. Like, the biggest reason everyone tells me is like, man, you read the Bible? I was like, yeah. And you're like, you understand it? I'm like, yeah. Man, I don't understand the Bible. Well, okay. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. That's clear as water. I'm just saying, what does that mean? It means whatever you do, do it for God because you serve God. Well, I mean, it says it just like that. Come on. It's not that difficult. Anyway, that's just, I don't know, that was a rabbit trail. Anyway, let's get back on topic. But yes, we need to do everything we do for Christ. Why? Because we need to love him with all that we are. And if we love him with all that we are, everything that we do, we need to give to him, right? Amen. That was good. 1st 24 says, it's the Lord Christ you are serving. We don't live life for men, right? Or women. You know, you got to be politically correct. You don't live for men or women. You got to include everybody. Anyway. What was I talking about? I'm talking about that focus. It's not there. Yes, we serve Christ. We do these things for him. We don't do it for ourselves. We don't do it for other people. We do it for him. Because we love him so much, right? We're going to do these things out of respect and out of love, out of faith. We're not going to be perfect at it, but we need to strive for perfection. Be perfect as my Father is perfect. That's somewhere in the Bible, too. I don't know where at, but it's in there. Just trust me. We need to give our all. Why? Heaven gave up its all, right? Heaven sent Jesus. You know, heaven, Jesus is everything heaven had, right? I mean, that's a Son of God. Only Son of God. God gave up his only Son. Now, I'll tell you what. I'm probably the favorite child. I got 4 sisters. I'm just saying, I'm probably the favorite child. Why? Okay, well, if something happens to me, oh, that's my son, right? Well, I got 4 sisters. If something happens to one of the girls, well, I still got 3 other girls, you know? You think my dad would be like, okay, just for the sake of humanity, man, I'm funny. I didn't know. I should be a comedian. This is, that's my calling. I'm a Christian comedian. There we go. Hold on. What's that? What was I talking about? Oh, man, I'm so ADD. It's hilarious. Anyway, but yeah, y'all think my dad's going to give me up? No, I'm his favorite. He didn't say that, but I'm saying it because I got the mic. But yeah. My dad wouldn't give up his all for you all, but that's what God did. Why? Because he loved us so much. John 3:16 says that so clearly. Because Christ loved us so much, he gave everything. What we need to do because of that, we need to give our all. Heaven gave up its all. God gave up his all. Christ gave up its all or his all. Christ is a him. So Christ gave up his all. And because they gave up their all, we need to give our all. Because if we don't give our all, we don't deserve his all. Everybody say, mm-hmm. Ooh, that was good. You know, I said that. I was at a Japanese restaurant talking with my friend, and I said that. And he was like, you should write that down. So I wrote it down. But, yeah, because heaven gave up its all, God gave up his all, and Christ gave up his all, we need to give our all. Because if not, we don't deserve his all. And I'll tell you what, y'all, I want his all for my life, right? I want his all for your life, right? Why? Because I love you guys. You know, I want the best for you. You know, I want the best for everybody. I really do. You know, I think that's what love is. You know, love and like is 2 different things. I can love you, but I might not like you. If I like you, I want to spend a bunch of time with you. If I don't like you, I might not want to hang out with you. But I still love you. Why? Because I want the best for you. Just not be around you too much. So we need to give up our everything. So my question is, why do we need to love other people? You know, the Bible presses this so much. We need to love people. Why?
what's the point of loving people? I mean, I understand loving God, right? I mean, he gave up his everything for me, so I might as well, right? I mean, you give up everything, sure, I'm going to love you. Why? Because you love me. That's a simple principle. You love me, I'm going to love you too, until you don't love my mama. You know, I'm convinced the reason why we need to love people, because if we love people, we're going to tell them what Christ did for us, right? You know, this is what I'm actually supposed to be talking about. I'm not supposed to be talking about love. I chose discipleship, so might as well talk about discipleship, right? You know, that's why we do what we do. It's all because of love. Christ loved us, so we need to love him and love his people. Why? Because he loved them. He loved them so much that he died for them. He didn't die just for me. I mean, if he died just for me, he probably wouldn't have died. Why? Because I sin a lot. I feel like I'm a decent person, but I mean, I still sin. I mean, it's human nature to sin. But he died for all of us. He died for everybody. The people that are caught in sin live a life full of sin. He loved them just as much as he loves me. He died for them just like he died for me. Now, I wouldn't do that. I don't love everybody that much, but I need to. Why? Because the Bible says love like Christ loves. If we're called to be a light to the world, we need to show people the right way to go. I made that up myself. I'm so proud. Y'all never heard this prideful man. I need prayer, y'all. I'm so full of myself. This is ridiculous. I never talked about myself more than anyway. What am I supposed to be talking about? All right, being a light to the world. But yes, we need to show people the right way to go, right? That's what we're called to do. Why? Because people can't see Christ if we don't be Christ to them. Christ lives in us. We need to be example. We need to live like Christ. Why do we need to live like Christ? So when people experience the love of Christ, Christ's love is life-changing. What are we called to do? Lead people into a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? We need to be a light. We need to love people so they can experience the life-changing love. That's why we love people. We don't love people just because God wants us to be nice people. That's a dumb reason. Nice people still go to hell. Ooh, that's not fun. Being nice, being good, being bad, you know, that's not what gets us into heaven. Loving the Lord, your God, with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, that's what gets us to heaven. You know, it's a heart issue. God sees our heart. He sees our motives behind what we do. So the motive behind our heart, but the motive behind loving people needs to be we want to lead people, be a light to people, right? That's what this church is called to do, and I love it so much, you know. See souls save, lives change, lead people into a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. That speaks right to my heart. That's what I want to see. I want to see people grow in Christ. I want to see people love him. Because I'll tell you what, this world doesn't love God, right? I mean, the media pushes everything that's anti-Christ. They don't want Christ in our lives. Why? Because it's life-changing. They don't want us to change. They want us to follow what they want us to do. Right? Now, if we change, we're not following them. We're following Christ. And that's why I think this world's so against what Christ wants, because they don't want what God wants. What does God want? He wants us to love him with all that we are. He wants us to give him everything. Right? Why? Because he gave up his everything. I mean, if I gave up my everything, I wouldn't expect anything less than your everything, right? If I gave y'all everything that I had, you know, it's like a loan. You think of it like a loan. I mean, that's probably not a great example. Anyway, if I gave you $1 million, what am I going to expect? I'm going to expect at least $1 million back, right? Most people, if they get out a loan, give out a loan, it's $1 million plus interest. So not only should we give what Christ gave us, but we need to give him a little bit more, right? We need to give him everything that we have. In Matthew 28,
he was talking to his disciples again. This is after Jesus died on the cross, and he rose 3 days later, right? And he's talking to his disciples. He said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." All right, so we got to analyze the verse, right? Got to analyze it. Get the deeper meaning. Be super spiritual. They say, go out and make disciples. You know, that's basically what the vision is. If we want to see people have a life-changing experience, how are they, or are we just expecting everyone to come to church on their own, right? Does everyone, how many people really just come to church on their own? Oh, I'm going to go to church and change my life. No, we need, people want to feel welcomed. They want to be invited. They want to be taught. He said in verse 20, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Well, first off, if we need to teach people what God commanded of them, we need to know what God commands of us, right? So that means we need to read our Bible, we need to be familiar, and then we need to live that out so we can teach people. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is we actually need to go. We need to do something because we believe in Christ so much. We love him so much that we give him our all. And that's what we need to do. You know, we killed Christ. I killed Christ. That's horrible. I mean, every time I think about that, I'm like, I can't believe I do what I do every day. I can't believe I'm the way I am. You know, it makes me feel like a horrible person every time I think about it. But if we really do think about it, none of us are good people. We all sin. We all sin. We all put Christ on the cross. And even though we did that, God still forgave us. So what do we need to do? We need to change the way we live. And then go out, make disciples of all nations. We need to love them with all that we are. We need to love other people. Because if we love other people, then we can forgive them. And then we can tell them about Christ's forgiveness. Because I tell you what, God's plan for us is to learn about his forgiveness. We need to accept Christ's forgiveness. And we need to give other people the chance to accept that forgiveness, right? That's what we're called to do. That's why we need to go out and make disciples of all nations. Because we can't be a selfish Christian. It's not my God. You know, it's not my God. It's our God. Right? He's the one and only God. And we need to give everyone the same chance to choose to serve him, choose to love him, choose to accept his forgiveness, and choose to love other people, right? Will you all pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank you so much for doing everything that you do for us, Lord. Lord, I can't believe that I sin against you. I can't believe that I don't always serve you the way I should. I don't know why I do the things I do. But Lord, I know in my heart that I want to serve you with everything that I am. And Lord, that's our prayer today. Lord, I pray that you have your way with our lives. Lord, I pray that you do a work in our hearts, a work in our life, Lord. I thank you and I love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Our community at Life Church Assembly of God aims to see souls saved and lives changed. Thank you for joining in with us. If you would like to further connect with us, you can find us online at lifechurchboutique.com or follow us on Facebook at Life Church Assembly of God.